Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my sheep. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Let us pray. Remind us, our Father, that in our worship, we not only are struck by the wonder and majesty of thy presence, but also are we confronted with ourselves and with the task to which thou art calling us. Remind us, too, we pray, that the ministries thou hast called us to perform are always deeper and broader than our conceptions of them. Awaken us in these moments to the depth and breadth of thy grace, and to the depth and breadth of our response to it. In the name of Christ, amen.
It's a great pleasure to be sharing with you this morning, and particularly on behalf of the Famine Relief Committee. We thank you for this opportunity to share with you our Christian witness, and we hope that you'll support us with your prayers and also with your token responses as you live your Christian life. I'd like to make two announcements this morning before I introduce our guest speaker. Friday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. in Appleby 108, there will be a meeting of the Famine Relief Committee of this campus. We would like to extend an invitation to all those concerned people, whether they be on the faculty or just concerned students, to attend this meeting so that we can talk about some of the things that Wynn Board will be speaking about this morning, so that we can positively share our Christian witness and grapple with that six-letter word, that obscenity, which is famine. I'd also like to say, in the way of announcements this morning, that Wynn will be in the Commons Room immediately following his presentation this morning to field any questions you might want to ask him. Wynn Hoard is a senior student at Duke University. He is an engineering major, and he hails from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He tells me that his plans are uncertain for the future. He has law school in mind and also the possibility of opening up a professional community in the Durham area. Wynn Hoard is representing this morning the Duke University Famine Task Force, a body of concerned students who are interested in seriously grappling with the famine situation in the world. And it is with this introduction that after the anthem, we will hear from first Dr. Copeland, and then after that from Wynn Hoard, our guest speaker.
Back in the spring semester of 1974, when the news was focused on the terrible tragedy of famine in the Sahelian area of Africa, there was formed on our campus a student committee called the African Famine Relief Committee. This committee was responsible for over $3,000 being sent from this campus to the Baptist World Alliance for famine relief within a 12-month period. And it was also responsible for developing awareness among North Carolina Baptists with regard to world hunger, the result being that an offering was taken by the North Carolina Baptist Convention for world hunger, which is the largest offering of any state Baptist convention for this purpose. Always, however, the committee was asking the deeper questions. How can we meet the problem of world hunger on a long range? How can the resources of international politics, of economics, of agriculture, of technology be marshaled to attack this global issue? In our times, with our resources, with our stewardship, what do the words of our Lord mean when he says, "I was hungry and you fed me"? And so the committee continues, no longer the African Famine Relief Committee, but the Famine Relief Committee. And so this chapel program this morning.
Good morning. When confronted with the prospects of global starvation on the order of over 400 million people this year, the response from the people who are confronted with this varies from one of callous indifference to one of genuine concern. And for those who do have the genuine concern, the question becomes, what can I do, or what can we do as a people confronted with starvation on this mass level? The primary consideration we have to face is that this is a very, very complex problem. To deal with this issue effectively, we must confront not only the moral and ethical aspects of the problem, but also the inherent economic aspects of the problem, and the inherent political aspects of the problem, and also the interplay of cultural and social factors that we must deal with. We must face the challenge of dealing with the hunger problem more comprehensively than just the level of relief to the starving masses. Because looking at it on this level has lended us to the mentality that the needs and right to food is a matter of charity for us, rather than a matter of justice for the people who are starving to death. So with this comprehensiveness in mind, there are four major action fronts that we can confront this problem on. The first is that of education. We must acquire a complete and comprehensive awareness about the issues and causes behind this problem that will free us from both the myths that we and our brothers and sisters in the community have about hunger issues and the hungry. And we must also acquire an awareness and education that will free us from the guilt trip that so many of us undergo when we're confronted with mass global starvation. The second front is action directed toward transforming our own personal lifestyles in this country from one of overconsumption, an overconsumption ethic and lifestyle that has lended to us consuming 30%, over 30% of the world's resources with only 6% of its population, to a lifestyle that recognizes a global community and the needs of that community and sharing equally the resources of the world. The third action front that we have to that we can work on is meeting immediate needs locally and globally. This is where the primary focus of this problem has been in the past. But we need to go further in that we need to institutionalize relief and aid, not only on a private level, but on a public level as well. We must also focus more of our relief on development rather than just direct aid. And finally, the fourth action front that we have to face, and probably one of the most important because it gets to the roots of the issue, and that is precisely that institutional change is going to be required if the needs of the hungry are to be met. To focus just on relief and ignore what is causing the problem is failing to look at it realistically, and we are turning our backs on the roots of the problem and also turning our backs on certain parts of the gospel. We must confront this as an avocation of justice and not just charity for the hungry. It involves more than making, it involves making the right to food a cornerstone of U.S. policy with regard to legislation concerning trade laws in the United States, regarding legislation concerning what aid is allocated, how much aid is allocated, and where the aid goes. We must confront the objectives of this country must not be just towards political aid, because that's how our food aid has been administered primarily in the past on the governmental level. We have to look at the people who are starving, and that's where the aid should go, not just to our political allies. And aside to this is Mr. Schlesinger's statement that food is our greatest weapon that the United States has. And that kind of mentality is what we're up against, and that's the kind of transformation we have to make. Secondly, on an institutional level, we have to confront corporations, for they bear the chief responsibility for maintaining the maldistribution of wealth and resources that are in this country. They contribute to a concentration of income in less developed countries and in the less developed world. Thirdly, on an institutional level, we have to strive for change on a local level, such as the way this campus is run, or any university campus is run, or the way any institution or business in this country is run. For example, you know, what kind of fertilizer do we use on when we make our, you know, our environment so lushly green? There's an acute fertilizer shortage in the world today, but less developed countries cannot afford it because we use so much of it just to beautify our own ground. We can look at the type of food that we serve in our unions on campuses, the type of food we eat ourselves, one that gets away from the protein waste that's inherent in our diet. It takes, for example, it takes the amount of grain required to produce 1 pound of beef is 10 times the efficiency of, the amount of grain that goes into producing beef is a 10 times waste in efficiency. For example, for us to eat 1 pound of beef, it takes 10 pounds of grain to produce that 1 pound of beef. And when you look at this on a global level, with respect to our diet and the diet of people in less developed countries, we are consuming, per person, 5 times as much grain as people in less developed countries. So we have to deal with this on an institutional level, institutionalized in the way government is run, how this problem is institutionalized in our economy, and how it is institutionalized in our own personal lifestyle. Now, as far as action for this particular community is concerned, we must first determine the objectives for which is the best mode of action in your community within this four actions, within the framework of this action on four levels. At Duke, we chose 6 major objectives. The first is to raise consciousness and develop awareness of the world hunger crisis. The second objective was to encourage and take positive steps toward affecting legislation and governmental decisions relating to U.S. food and overseas development policy. Our third objective was to collect and employ university resources and to educate the campus and Durham community in issues related to world hunger. Our fourth objective was to help and contribute in the progress towards relief of hunger and development of affected people. Our fifth objective was to struggle to effect an institutional response by Duke to the fact that there are over 400 million people in the world who are dying of hunger, an institutional response that will affect the curriculum at Duke, the food served, investments in corporations that are responsible for continuing this maldistribution of resources, and use of fertilizer on making Duke look nice and green and pretty. And our last objective was to ensure a continuing structure for dealing with these concerns in the future. Now, obviously, this community is different from the Duke community, and it would be necessary to formulate your own objectives within this four-action framework. But at Duke, we developed specific, under each objective that we formulated, we developed specific action areas to concretely deal with that objective. You know, we can formulate all the objectives we want and say, what's wrong with the problem? But once those objectives are formed, you can't stagnate there. We have to move on and get into the action behind them, because only then will the needs be met, and only then will the transformation we're talking about come about. For example, When we decided to raise consciousness, we decided to set up fasting as a continual process on campus to promote alternative meatless meal choices in the union so people can develop an ethic of not overconsumption, of not having the waste and protein efficiency that's inherent in the American diet. We decided to raise awareness through film series and discussions that deal with the basic issues of the problem. We also set up an alternative lifestyle support group so that as personally, people, as individuals, we can somehow come together as a community and try to deal with how we can relate to this problem, how we can change our own lifestyle to one of underconsumption and an ethic of global community in the context of the overconsumption ethic that's in this country. And it's in our own community, and it's ingrained in, you know, the people that we're confronted with every day. How do we make that transformation in ourselves, in that context, and how we can go about to other people in making that transformation? With regard to our second objective concerning affecting U.S. legislation, there are several groups, or several national groups, that actually do this for you. Groups such as Bread for the World, the Interreligious Task Force on U.S. Food Policy, and IMPACT. These groups publicize upcoming legislation and give us an awareness of who we can direct our letters to. Who in Congress can we write to affect legislation? It gives you information concerning which bills are coming up in Congress, and not only which bills, but why are they important, and which subcommittees those bills are residing in, and who you can write to. So that's a very easy way that we can deal with this problem on a national level. Try to influence the Congress and the legislators in Congress to vote for bills that will work, that will be directed towards making the transformation we're talking about, towards getting the food to the people that need it, through not using food as a weapon, under the third objective of collecting and employing university resources to educate the campus and community in real issues related to world hunger. We've decided that we must establish a university course and curriculum to deal with the structure. You know, we asked ourselves, there are 400 million people starving in the world. Duke does not have one course that deals with that problem. How can we educate people if there's no courses to educate them with? It's a very complex problem. I can't tell people, you know, we ourselves cannot tell people how to go about solving the problem. This is a very difficult academic problem that has to be dealt with. We also decided we should have discussions and forums with faculty and students who are willing to share some of their knowledge pertaining to hunger issues. We do this through tables on the quad, have certain speaking sessions on the main quad. Thirdly, we felt the need to stimulate interest in vocations dedicated to the hunger issue, as well as impress the need to maintain a consistency between vocation and lifestyle. Under our fourth objective, to help and contribute to the progress of famine relief and development of affected people, we decided that through using fast donations would probably be our best current means towards accomplishing that end. Tomorrow, the Duke community is participating in the Oxfam Fast, Oxfam is an international development organization which sponsors this international fast one day of year. And from the donations from that fast, they use it towards self-help development in less developed countries. So we decided that half of the money that we raised would go toward Oxfam. The other half would be towards meeting local needs in the Durham community. There are also other outreaches in the community that we can use. At a crop conference in Greensboro several months ago, we were talking to a woman from Charlotte who herself and 12 people worked with the food stamp program there. A food stamp program in Charlotte was essentially a failure before that group took it on. Only 30% of the people who were eligible for food stamps were getting them. Through her dedication and the work of that group, now 100%, or close to 100%, of the people who are eligible for food stamps in Charlotte are getting those benefits. So that's the type of community outreach we have to have. And it doesn't take that many people to do it. It just requires the dedication and the know-how. Our fifth objective towards trying to affect an institutional response from Duke. The first thing that's necessary, and what they've done at other universities such as Yale, is to set up a university committee that deals with this problem on you know, the type of food that is served, the investments in the corporations that, that yield university income, how those investments can be morally in keeping with the whole hunger problem. So those are just our examples. You know, those are the type of things we're doing. Obviously, this seminary is in a different context than university community, and you'll have to formulate, you know, the main objectives for yourself and the directives under each of those objectives for yourself. But these are the main issues. We've got to keep in mind that this is a complex problem that must go beyond just meeting direct aid. If anything's going to be done, we have to get to the basic issues of the problem, the economic issues, the political issues involved, the moral issues involved, and the interplay of cultural factors involved. So I urge you to keep that in mind in your attempt to confront this problem. Thank you very much.
Shall we pray?
Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Our worship is over. Our service is yet to begin.